Hey, what's happening, guys, out in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I would like to talk a little bit about fear. The very fear that normally occurs when a shark shows up. Sharks unite all typical images of fear, and that seems to explain why we are so afraid of these animals. In general, we can say what we don't understand, we're afraid of. And when it comes down to sharks, well, most of us are afraid of these sharks. So how can you conquer this fear? I guess it's very important first that we understand what type of fears are out there and how they are triggered. For example, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are not afraid of sharks per se, but the fear of water. Most people don't really like to swim out there, and because sometimes they think, well, what's happening that comes out of the dark from the depth, that things can eat us alive, entangle our legs, and of course, most prominently, the possibility of drowning. Then a person's movement in water is mostly awkward, and in the face of the power of currents or waves, our ability to control the surroundings are nearly non-existing. So these things really make us feel not really comfortable. But when it comes down to sharks, there are two primary fears that seem to overshadow everything. It's, of course, getting bitten by a shark and the darkness, not knowing what comes out of from the dark depth of the water. The latter is inherent and quite understandable considering that our eyes are less adapted during these hours than nocturnal animals, consequently making us less capable of defending ourselves. This reality is closely connected to the fear of being eaten alive. The fear of getting eaten alive, of course, stems from a time where early humans were confronted with large predators and had to protect themselves. So right in our past, we see some reasoning why we're afraid of sharks. But what we will see during this episode, there's actually no need to be afraid of sharks. And actually, I will show you some techniques, some idea to get rid of this fear. But there is something else when it comes down to sharks. Compared to land predators, which mostly face us on a two-dimensional scenario, they're right in front of us on the same level, a shark is quite agile in the third dimension, as well during an encounter. So this spatial component feels rather threatening when a shark can approach us from above us, from below us, and can change this level very quickly. However, even when considering all these factors, the fear of sharks must be rationally considered, and it is unfounded and must be labeled as a neurotic fear. And this fear, this neurotic fear, we call selacophobia. Selacos means shark, phobos means fear. So it originates from a subconscious conflict. In general, these type of fears are also called neurosis or then just phobias. On the other hand, this fear of sharks could also be called a free-floating anxiety, where actually no specific situation, no specific triggered situation or object is present. For example, a scenario would be you dive and all of a sudden you start uncomfortable while being submerged without knowing why. Or another example would be you feel tense during an interaction with a shark without an obvious trigger from the shark. So the fear of sharks is not innate, similar to the fear from dogs. So we actually learn it. So since you learn this fear, you can actually de-learn this fear as well. And when I have people in my class who are really afraid of sharks, again, the selacophobia comes in here, I can get them rid of these fears within about 2 days. Since emotions are learned, they are receptive to behavioral therapy. So I can take you by the hand and if we both face this potential fear, Then in the next level, you actually try it on your own. The first level would have been, we just talk about it. So there are ways, paths that we can use in order to get rid of fear. All of these forms of fear are straightforward. There is another fear that plays right into the first encounter with them, and that is the fear of not knowing what is going to happen. We don't know what is going to happen, so we are not in control of the situation, but this fear, actually this not knowing, can be changed. I spend a lot of time in the water and try to understand this very first moment. When I'm out there, the first thing I always do is make sure I understand where I'm at and what effect this is going to have on a shark. For example, when I'm right below the surface, I understand the surface plays an important role when should the shark now ascend. Or when I'm close to reef, I realize the shark has limited escape routes. Or I'm in the current. But likewise, the visibility plays a role. If it's down, we may swim in evening hours, it may be rainy, and as I just mentioned, the activity plays an important role as well. So with all that knowledge, I basically have a clue, an idea how a shark most likely will approach. So when I see a shark coming, I already have this knowledge, but now I'm looking for specific factors revolving the shark. So when a shark shows up, I look for the swim patterns. Although we have not yet talked about swim patterns, they are easy to predict and they really help to give you an idea where the shark is going to go once he passed you. Or, for example, the shark will stick around when he does what we call a go around. What does this mean? How does it end? How can we end this situation? So based on that knowledge, I will know how close the shark is likely going to come should no other factors pop up. And this is what is very important whenever we talk about approach patterns. Again, I'll get into that in the next few episodes. A shark can approach us in several ways. And you will be surprised to hear there are only about 9 different patterns, and some of them are extensions of other patterns. So once we understand that, we actually can predict what is going to happen. And prediction, of course, helps to understand or feel how a situation is going to develop. And should this swim pattern, for example, change, all of a sudden we know that there is another factor, that another factor came into play. So I have a clue, an idea about the situation, and this is, of course, less threatening than if I had to wait and what's going to happen and have no clue about any form of prediction. Picture this image of a restaurant. Let's say you are in a country where you don't speak the language, you have no clue how people act, react, and now you want to have dinner somewhere. And let's say the concierge points you, oh, well, yeah, go through that door and there you will find a restaurant or a bar, whatever. Well, none of us really just opens the door right away and steps in and looks around and orders. Most likely, we do that a little more careful because we don't know what to expect, which is, of course, the same situation as with facing a shark. So if I would now be in front of the restaurant and give you a little map and say, look, once you open that door, you will see there's only 2 people in there. On the right side, you have a bar. The whole room is about 30 feet long, 10 meter long, whatever, and there are 2 or 3 tables in there. And in order to order the food, what you like to eat, this is what you have to say. So with this type of map, you most likely step into the restaurant easier than you would if you didn't have anything in hand. So you know how a situation, how the situation is most likely going to develop. And that's exactly the same thing when you see a shark and know what to look for. These approach patterns that I just mentioned are part of the shark-human interaction concept that I created 15 years ago, which is called Adori Sane. We will go into Adori Sane in a later episode, but just mind you, we actually have the tools of predicting a situation or making a situation understood when a shark shows up. Within Adore Seine, there is a very, it's like a shortcut, which I call a quick assessment of intentions, where only three factors are looked at when a shark shows up. Its level, where does a shark swim with regards to my position, below me, same level or above me. Its swim direction, of course, this is the angle towards me. It can be very narrow or it can be very wide, and between narrow and wide angle, the shark will be or past me, closer or less so. And of course, the momentary surroundings. So these three factors, if you remember these three factors, I guarantee you, you will have it much easier to predict the situation you are in. So I can only hope that when you dive with a shark next time, or for the first time, you remember this quick assessment, and you will be surprised how clear the situation is going to be. So again, Adore Seine swim patterns will be part of one of the next few Let's Talk Shark episodes. But I hope with this little introduction of fear, where it comes from, how we can conquer it, I helped a little bit to be more relaxed when you see a shark next time. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.